Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That was the verse that was read before our gospel reading. Oftentimes, the gospel verse there is taken from our gospel reading, but not today. Today, it was taken from another part of Scripture, from Ephesians chapter 6. But it still offers a good reflection on what we see in our gospel reading. And that is that we should put on the armor of God to stand against the schemes of the devil. Because here in our gospel reading, we hear all about the schemes of the devil. And we should understand as we face those schemes that we are in a battle against them. Notice the word armor when it says put on the full armor of God. Armor reminds us that we are in a battle, that someone is out to get us. And of course, the armor of God does not include something that's hard and metal, but this is the Word of God and all the things described in Ephesians chapter 6. Because the devil is there to get us. And if we are facing this enemy, it is good for us as Christians to reflect on the schemes of the devil and his ways of operating. How will he try to deceive you and I? Because we can fall to his temptations. There are plenty of Christians who have fallen to his temptations and have fallen away from the Christian faith. And so we must be on guard against them and recognize what the devil will try to do to lead us astray. And in our gospel reading for today, and also in our Old Testament reading, we see some good examples of what the devil tries to do. And in those readings, we especially see that what the devil has done is he tries to turn our attention to all of the immediate results that we will get from obeying him and from disobeying God. All of the good things that could come if we listen to the voice of the devil and do what he says. Instant gratification is what he's looking for and what he wants us to have. So that, in the long run, we fall from our Lord and we live forever in the devil's kingdom and forever in hell. So how do we see this in our Old Testament and our gospel reading? Well, first in our Old Testament reading, when the devil comes to Adam and Eve, he tempts them by first saying, "No, you won't die if you eat this fruit." And then points out, look, God knows that when you eat of it, you will become like God, knowing all things. He points out to them that to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil gives this benefit. You will be like God. You will know good and evil. So that they will be convinced that this is a good thing, that this will be good for them, and they will take and eat. But the thing that the devil has turned them away from is from the Word of God and what God has actually said. They are not being asked, is this pleasing to God? Is this good in God's eyes? But rather, is it pleasing to me? Is it going to benefit me? Am I going to get something from it? Similar thing happens in our gospel reading for today, where the devil tempts Jesus. Jesus has been fasting for 40 days, and obviously he's hungry. And the devil comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into loaves of bread. So the devil tempts him with two results. First, you can prove that you are the Son of God by doing this miracle, turning these loaves into bread. Certainly, Jesus could do that. And of course, the implied additional result is that you'll have food to eat. But the devil doesn't ask the question, or try to get Jesus to ask the question, is this pleasing to God? And then in the second temptation, the devil tells him to jump from the pinnacle of the temple and says, look, the scriptures say that the angels will catch you. They will minister to you. They will provide for you. They will help you. So do it. Looking at the results of this, rather than looking at whether this pleases God, whether this is what God wants him to do. And then third, the devil takes and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and says, I will give these to you if you will fall down and worship me. Again, focusing on the results, you get to have all these kingdoms of the world and their glory now if you fall down and worship me. But not, of course, asking whether this is pleasing to God. And of course, we know that Adam and Eve gave in to temptation. They did not consider whether this was pleasing to God, which it wasn't, but instead they said, this is good to eat. Eve saw that the fruit was good to make one wise, and so she ate it because that's what she wanted. Not considering, is this what God wants? Not going back to the word of God that she had been quoting before and understanding that this is not what God wants. This will displease God. This will separate me from communion with him. And I do not want to be separated from him. But then on the other hand, Jesus, when tempted with these results, does not give in to temptation. He does not fall for these things, but instead goes right back to the word of God and says what he and the Father and the Holy Spirit have said. First, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He exhibits perfect trust in the Father as he lives on this earth and suffers and hungers and is in his state of humiliation. Perfect faith in the Father. He's concerned about pleasing him. And then in the second temptation, he knows that it is not good to put the Lord to the test. So he quotes that scripture that says, do not put the Lord to the test. He is more concerned about pleasing God than about jumping off the temple and having the angels minister to him then and there at the devil's command. And then third, he knows that it is wrong to worship the devil because you are only to worship the Lord your God. Jesus is concerned with pleasing God, and he lives a life that is perfectly pleasing to the Father. Adam and Eve fell into sin and listened to the voice of the devil and became focused on the immediate results, the instant gratification that they would get, and did not trust that what God had said was good for them, but looked only at the immediate results right then and there, what was going to happen, and disobey God. They were not concerned with pleasing God. And we, as descendants of Adam and Eve, follow in their footsteps. How often is it that when we act and live and do things and consider how we shall live, that we think more about how what we will do or what we will say will please us, will bring good things to us, will bring us comfort and ease. And do not consider, is this good in the eyes of God? Even if it is hard, even if it is difficult, even if it means I have to give other things up. We should be first and foremost concerned with whether something is pleasing to our Father. And how do we know what is pleasing to him? We look at his word, which means, of course, that it is pleasing to him for us to be in his word, reading it daily, to be coming to church to hear his word and to receive his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Here we are being trained, we are being taught, so that we are ready to meet the onslaughts of the devil. So that we are ready to speak the word of God in the face of the devil and his temptations, and we know what is pleasing to our Lord. But of course, we fail to do that. We cannot become pleasing to our Lord on our own. We cannot live a perfectly pleasing life. Which is why Jesus had to come and live that perfect life in our place and suffer the punishment on the cross for our failure to please the Lord. And why then? What Jesus did on the cross was brought to us in our baptism. And we died to sin. And we were raised to new life. We were given a new nature in Christ. And that new nature is the one that desires to please the Lord. And then with this new nature in us, we should, as St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, whether we are at home with the Lord in heaven or away, we make it our aim to please Him. That in our daily lives, we do make it our aim to please the Lord and to know what it is to be pleasing to the Lord. And that means then we have to confess our sins when we do not please our Lord and put to death our sinful nature because we desire to please Him. We do not take the attitude that says, well, I can live however I want and God will forgive me. That is not the attitude of a Christian. That is an attitude of the person who wants to abuse the grace and forgiveness of God. The Christian says, because they are new in Christ, says, I want to please the Lord and I want to put to death all that comes from the sinful nature in me. I desire to please my Lord. And so I need to come then as a baptized creature of God, a new creature in Christ. I need to come to His supper to be fed and strengthened. I need to hear His word here and daily read and study His word so that I am strengthened for this battle that I face on a daily basis against Satan. Because Satan is aiming at your downfall, is aiming for you to go to hell with him. And you must have the word of God and you must have His supper in order to be strengthened and kept firm in the one true faith, so that you might recognize your sin, repent of it, and believe in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that in the midst of this battle, though, we have a Savior who has gone before us and lived a perfect life in our place, has suffered for us on the cross in our place, bestows His righteousness on us, creates us as new creatures in Christ so that we might live in this world, and that it is pleasing to Him that we become pleasing to the Father, that He was pleased to do all of this for us because He wants us in His kingdom and He wants us to die in faith as His creatures. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.